Atheist Nomads, episode 255, Messianic Judaism and Pride.
The podcast you're about to listen to includes cursing and talking about hoo-haws. Please be advised.
Welcome to another episode of Atheist Nomads. I am Dustin. Joining me is Lauren.
Hello.
There's producer Rocco.
Hey, Rocco.
He's got an official title now as of last episode.
Yeah, he's producer now.
Oh, we got kicked in the face by the baby.
Yeah, that happens.
And we've got the intern trying to grab the microphone.
Yeah.
Kylie's officially the podcast cooing intern. And we've got Mikey with us.
Hey, everybody. How's it going?
Everybody can't answer.
No, they can. Talk to your listening device. I'm not listening either way.
Yeah. No.
Yeah.
That was awkward. I think Dustin and I really dropped the ball on that
one. No, it's fine. It's just standard greeting.
I've been doing this for 6 years. You would think that I would be able to handle that. And
nah.
Nope.
Absolutely not.
Yeah. Yeah.
Huh. Conversation. Ha!
Just greetings, humans.
I am also human.
Yes, also human.
In the 19th century, Protestant groups finally started trying to target Jewish communities.
Oh, great.
And this was new.
To convert, right? Not to...
Yes, to okay. convert. Because before that... So prior to that...
Ugly history there.
Yeah, interaction right. between Christians and Jews was...
Problematic.
Convert or die.
Yeah.
And this time it became, let's create a... Not make you stop being Jewish and... Not make you leave Jewish culture and having Jewish style worship. Let's find a way of trying to bring these two together.
Like a hybrid car.
Yeah. Yeah.
Aw.
Aw.
Except with one where one believes that there is no God but God, and he is one, and one who believes that God is three. Is God one or three?
Listen, I was in the church for 20 years, and I never got a clear answer on that either.
And as what's funny is Messianic Jews still don't. They're all over the place on that one.
Yeah.
But so in 1821, the London Society for Promoting Christianity Among the Jews, yes, that was the name of the organization.
Yeah, so that's sure. a mouthful.
Published the first Yiddish New Testament.
Aww.
Then these efforts spread from the UK to Ukraine, then the US and various other places. And in the US, they had the greatest success with converting Jewish immigrants and creating communities that had their worship services on Saturday and mixed Jewish and Christian customs.
Nice.
I can see that. I can see moving to a different country and you want to find some way where you can belong without really sacrificing your uh-huh. beliefs.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, especially since late 1800s, early 1900s, there was a lot of anti-Semitism in the U.S.
Was?
There... Compared to now.
But yeah. Okay.
There was a lot more.
Okay. Right.
More open.
Yeah, we're talking about the time when the KKK was in their heyday,
right.
and they hated everything that wasn't a white Protestant.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
Yeah. So then...
Those jerks.
The Gentile leaders of these groups were accused of being Judaizers by other Christians.
Judaizers?
Wait, what were they called?
Judaizers.
What's that mean?
That,
I think it means that they had a ray gun that they set to Judaism.
Yeah, just
they, you've been Judaized.
That comes from the New Testament.
Okay.
The Judaizers were the after... Those were people who would go to Pauline churches and try to force them to adopt Jewish customs. When
oh,
Paul's
right.
big
okay.
thing was Gentiles can become Christians without needing to be Jews, and they tried to make them become Jews as well. And...
Wait, what?
So they were called the Judaizers.
Yeah, because a lot of Paul. There was a conversation with Paul in the churches about you know about that whole subject.
Yeah, which ultimately came down to circumcision. Paul thought that
doesn't it always though?
Yeah, Paul was
it always has to do with a dick.
Yeah,
Paul figured that if you made it that long without getting circumcised and you aren't Jewish, you don't need to worry about it.
Oh,
and
that's
then
nice.
Other apostles and missionaries and Christian leaders came to the area and were like, wait, you guys all have foreskins? Let's
Gross.
Hack that off.
Gross. We call that God's mistake.
And they called... and then they got started being called Judaizers.
I call it sexy calamari. I think I just made myself sick a little.
Yeah, it is gross.
Yeah. So this movement really started picking up steam in the 1920s, which kind of makes sense with KKK activity rising.
Yeah.
And Nazi and just general fascism rising at that time. Well,
weren't we already studying eugenics and stuff in this country anyway? Oh, yeah. Like,
eugenics were entering their heyday.
Yeah, it's pretty gross.
By the 1940s and 50s, Southern Baptist missionaries started operating in Israel, and they started using the term messianics. That's the English translation of it.
Yeah.
Instead of Nostrum, which translates to Christians and comes from Nazarenes.
Nostrum sounds like a vampire. We got Nostrums.
So instead of
Judaizing vampire.
So yeah.
I'm seeing a comic book here.
So these Southern Baptists were converting Jews to become Southern Baptist Christians and not call them Christians.
Oh, okay. Like, got it. Got it. Seems kind of racist, but okay.
Yeah. The modern movement started in the 1960s with young Jewish people starting to convert to Christianity in the U.S. specifically, while still being committed to continuing to be culturally Jewish.
You get all the holidays that way, though.
All of them.
Yeah, that's great. I see their point, actually.
In response to this increase in interest, the Hebrew Christian Alliance of America decided to update their name to something a little less weird sounding.
More Zazz.
So, I don't know. I think it sounds very synergizing.
So they went with the Messianic Jewish Alliance of America. And this is also the same time period that Jews for Jesus started.
Oh, there we go.
See, Jews for Jesus has alliteration. That's a way superior name.
Yes, that is true. Alliteration is the key. Messianic Jew just sounds messy.
Yeah.
Well, Jews for Jesus didn't give themselves that name.
Get it, because it's messianic.
The media did.
Yeah, but messianic. It stuck because it was a good one.
And they decided to go ahead and adopt it because people liked it.
Marketing works.
Because messy is in messianic. It's that was the joke messianic. That I was making. Thank you. All right. Thank you.
Yeah,
I'll be here all week.
And then, like you'll find in most religious groups, it's difficult to nail down what their beliefs actually are because every congregation is at least a little bit different.
Oh, yeah.
But in general, most are Trinitarian.
Which means they believe in the three.
The three as being co-equal members of the Godhead.
So a tri-deity that we basically call one deity.
Yeah.
I've always been confused about that conceptually.
It's like a choral.
Like you have, so you're polytheistic, but you can't call yourself polytheistic because they all have an inherently different place and structure within the Godhead. Never understood. It's like Tiamat, the god dragon.
Yes.
It's just the three-headed same god.
So
talks to itself.
Trinitarianism, and I've studied it in...
Gives birth to itself.
In systematic theology class.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense.
It's never made sense to me.
The closest you can come to making sense with it is trying to use weird Platonic games of substance and matter and what it the true form and
yeah, they talk about the Holy Spirit having like being without form or being like just the Spirit of God. And then the way different churches explain how Jesus and God are the same, but they're different. It's like,
I just like the blanket statement. It's magic.
Well, I mean, if we in the context of other, belief systems, it's basically God, the original, gave birth to a smaller version of himself who is still himself, but not himself. So it's like Jesus is the human version of God.
A clone.
Well, he's still a God. Yeah, essentially a clone where he's still God, but it's not the original God. Like it's still God.
And then fuck all to the Holy Spirit.
Well, the Holy Spirit is a different form of God. Yeah, no, it's just weird.
But with proper Trinitarianism.
Yeah.
Jesus and the Holy Spirit are co-eternal with the Father.
Well, he sits at the right hand.
They have always existed. They are all equal. Not at the right hand. They are all one.
Well, I mean, isn't that the scripture that he sits at the right hand of God?
Uh-huh.
Which, I mean, you wouldn't, if you were the same person, you would sit in the same chair.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, it seems, but obviously also the scripture is not consistent for a lot of logical reasons. Like,
and Trinitarianism isn't in the Bible either.
That's true.
Well, it's not like a consistent thread of explaining how all that works is in the Bible.
Right.
Like it just used to be an ancient, war god of the mountains that evolved into, all this other stuff. I mean, you still have blood sacrifices to this day. We just do it in a different form now.
God, there was one in the paper. The other day. Paper, right. Nobody reads the paper, sorry.
I found it in the paper.
On the Google News.
On the Google News.
Yeah, so...
I received a telegraph.
They all believe that Jesus is the Messiah, and even the ones who aren't Trinitarian believe that he was at least fathered by the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, it seems pretty standard for Christians across the board.
And even the non-Trinitarian ones still believe that Jesus is at least a demigod.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's hard to, like, cram him another title. I mean, some religions downgrade him to prophet, right? Mm-hmm.
I really would like to see a Jesus versus Hercules fight.
Islam. Yeah, right? Islam has Jesus as a prophet.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Most Jews don't even give him that.
Well, it's difficult.
Yeah. They have a complicated relationship with that. They have been... Many, many Jewish people have been slaughtered in the name of Jesus.
Well.
That kind of leaves a bad... would seem like it'd leave a bad taste in your mouth.
Religions also don't exactly have a great history of being accepting to the religions that bud out of them. Uh-huh. I mean, you just look at how Christians treat the Mormons over here when they're technically all Christians, but you cannot get a Pentecostal to agree to that.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they just added some stuff you guys didn't like, but it was all the same weird stuff to begin with.
So they believe that the Torah, the first five books of the Old Testament, is still in effect and was not replaced by Christianity. They believe that Israel is still God's chosen people and generally do not think that that was switched to Gentile Christians or to the church as a whole. They consider the Tanakh, the Jewish scripture, same as the Christian Old Testament, but in a different order, as well as the New Testament to be scripture. Some accept Jewish oral tradition and the Talmud. They tend to have the same eschatology as evangelical Christians.
That's the,
what's an eschatology?
Belief of the end days.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. And also, I think it's the study of the afterlife in two, right? Like,
yeah, that's a part of it as well.
Yeah, it's all like the end, like necromancy. Kind of, yeah.
Right. Okay. Because generally Judaism doesn't include an afterlife.
Yeah, which is one of the most fascinating parts of that religion, if you ask me.
But Messianic Judaism, you have a separate immaterial soul that goes to heaven when you die. That's as different as you can get.
Okay.
They keep the Jewish holidays, and it also includes the celebration of Jesus' death and resurrection as part of the Passover.
So they just added some stuff with all the extra books.
Uh-huh.
So they get more homework, but more days off.
And they also still follow Jewish dietary rules.
Okay.
And, you know, some of those are pretty healthy.
Yeah. So most of these groups will actively work to evangelize the Jews, often through handing out leaflets and doing one-on-one Bible studies.
Standard religious bullshit, right?
Uh-huh. In many congregations, especially outside of Israel, a majority of the members are not people of Jewish descent. They are Christians that had to generally convert to both Judaism and Christianity at the same time, or were already Christian, went to a Messianic Jewish synagogue, and had to go through Jewish conversion after already being Christians.
Yeah. So it just seems like Christianity with extra steps.
Uh-huh. Messianic Judaism is generally not considered to be Judaism by anyone.
Except for themselves, maybe?
Unless you need a token non-Christian for a National Day of Prayer event, or you're an Adventist middle school teacher trying to make the segment in Bible class about the sanctuary more interesting by bringing in a, quote, Jewish person.
Oh, that's so misdirected.
And in both of those cases, the person you're bringing in is not Jewish in really any sense of the word.
Yeah.
Hmm. That's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
How many of these people are there?
At least several hundred thousand.
Okay.
Possibly up into the low millions.
Yeah.
Probably just in the hundreds of thousands. There are several thousand, or at least, there's at least several hundred Messianic Jewish communities.
Right.
Generally, I think they call them synagogues. Some places they call them churches.
Mm-hmm.
Interestingly, many liberal Christians actively and often officially oppose the Messianic Judaism movement, as they believe that Jews have their own covenant with God and Christians don't need to mess with that. Evangelicals, on the other hand, love Messianic Judaism because they are the evangelicals that put the Judeo in Judeo-Christian values.
I don't know. It's always weird the gatekeeping that happens in the religious communities. It's like, well, I mean, yeah, they converted to Judaism, but they're not Jews. Okay. And they converted to Christians, but they're not Christians. It's just the typical, like, they join everybody, so everyone rejects them.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's so ridiculous. It's like, whatever. It's just one of the funny parts about religion sometimes.
I know, it really is.
It's like, one of us. Nope. Sorry, not good enough. You can't do that. And it is definitely a chocolate peanut butter conversation. You can't mix your chocolate with my peanut butter. Why not?
Right. Like, especially since
the first Christians were Messianic Jews, technically.
Like, yeah, take that.
Yeah, deal with it.
And if you put those two
more
together.
More legit, anyway.
Yeah, right.
I've been to a kind of Messianic Jewish service once.
Mm-hmm.
It was called Adventist Synagogue. It was the Adventist attempt at Messianic Judaism. Strangely, in southwestern Michigan, near South Bend, Indiana,
yeah,
there is not a substantial Jewish population in that region. So almost everybody there were Gentiles, but there were a few people of Jewish descent. And it was the way the service played out was more similar to the service I attended at the Great Synagogue in Jerusalem than a typical Adventist church. It was weird.
Was it boring?
No, it was fascinating.
But if you were trying to convince people that you were both Christian and Jewish, you would probably lean heavily on the Jewish traditions to be more convincing.
Right.
It makes sense.
That's the part that people have a harder time believing, for good reason, because part of being Jewish is not accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Because you're God's chosen people, you don't need that.
Snap, snap.
Well, I feel like we all learned something today.
Yeah.
Well, me and the baby, anyway.
Yeah, I'm...
Intern.
In one ear, out the other. Yeah, intern, are you getting this down? No, she's rubbing
notes,
her eyes.
Take notes, sweetie.
All right, well, it's time for a break, and then we have some news. Atheist Nomads is proudly brought to you by listeners just like you. You can find out how you can become a patron at patreon.com/atheistnomads. That's patreon.com/atheistnomads. If you would like to save money on your phone bill, you should check out Ting. They do phones a bit different than the typical way. You don't sign up for a plan of what you think you will use and always pay too much. Instead, you pay for what you actually use. So they don't pre-bill you for it. They count up your minutes, your messages, and your megabytes, figure out what bucket that fits into, and then bill you based on that. The average Ting bill is $23 per phone.
Seems nice.
That's not bad.
Yeah, it's also a nice way to say F you to Verizon.
Oh, yeah, no, I mean, forget the major phone carriers. They are the worst.
If you use the link in the show notes, you'll be able to save $25 on either a new device or your first bill. Jeff Amix, a Baptist pastor and owner of Amix Hardware and Roofing Supplies from Eastern Tennessee, was in the news 3 years ago for his No Gays Allowed sign that he'd put up in his store.
Yeah.
After getting quite the backlash, he replaced it with a sign that read, "We reserve the right to refuse service to anyone who would violate our rights of freedom of speech and freedom of religion." A completely meaningless sign in every sense of the word. Anyway, so then after the Masterpiece Cake ruling was announced last week, he took that sign down and put his No Gays Allowed sign back up.
Yep. He did not listen to the fact that that was a for this case only ruling.
And also,
just like we all predicted.
And also ignored the part where the ruling said it is not okay to discriminate against gay people if you run a normal store.
Well, I mean, also, I mean, underlying all of this is the argument that freedom from religion includes the ability to persecute others.
Yeah.
Which is an interesting argument that sticks with some people where it's like, well, I think that people are gross. So I'm like, for instance, the Bible is very adamant against witches, for instance. So you would have the same biblical rights to persecute the Wiccan and pagan communities for any of their belief systems, because it's just you're supposed to kill those people.
Yeah.
Like, which is interesting biblically that nobody does that.
Don't suffer a witch to live.
Yeah, it's a pretty straightforward line.
Pretty much, yeah, lays it right out.
Yeah, and in my personal experience, everyone that I know that practices that kind of stuff has actually been a pretty delightful human being.
Some of the happiest people I know.
And they're not very, like, and they don't proselytize, Really? Like, yeah. A lot of them don't even bring it up in case it just happens to, like, you know.
Right.
Not until you actually enter their abode and you're like, oh, that's a bundle of sage, isn't it? Damn yeah. it.
All right. Well, also, though, I mean, I personally...
In an abalone shell. There's always an abalone shell.
My take is really that I'm actually kind of glad, in a sense, that these guys are labeling themselves bigots, because the approval rating
Absolutely.
For, like, gay marriage and everything is so... It's at a historic high in our country, and most people have now gotten to the point where we just... With all the trash that's going on, what people are doing in the bedroom becomes less and less of a thing.
Oh, yeah. This guy's totally mm-hmm. just shooting himself in the foot.
Yeah. I mean, and he's probably, obviously, he's still open. So enough of his community obviously doesn't care. But there is a point where that starts to be suspicious, where it's just like, yeah, but why would you do that? Like, just, it's a weird thing that you'd be like, well, yeah, I can't even sell you. He's a hardware store?
Yeah.
So right. you don't want lesbians building a deck? That seems just weird.
It's uh-huh. it's just an attempt to get attention. And
seems
if,
like, yeah.
Because if you're in a town that doesn't have a whole lot of LGBT...
Well, not a lot of open people anyway.
Open well, people, then it's going to seem as like harmless prank, basically. Well,
and generally speaking, small towns don't have large gay populations because they're full of fucking bigots.
No, yeah, openly. I mean, the percentages so, right. don't change. It's just the people admitting it don't do.
But the people who, kids who grow up there,
move
that
out.
Are queer, are more likely to move out than kids who are straight.
As far as
they
we know,
anyway.
We're not even putting that on the census anymore. Right. We don't know the numbers of how many people never come out.
Right.
Because
what a
people,
dick move that was.
Right.
Like, we don't know and we don't want to know. It's like, no, you do want to know.
This well, I mean, yeah, you do. I mean, just for data usage, data itself isn't necessarily evil.
No.
What's evil is the question, why? Because the only person or people who benefit from knowing why people are gay are the eugenicists and the people like them, because they're looking for answers. But if we just accept that different people view and do things differently and it's a non-harmful effect, we can just move past the question, because it's like, oh, okay, I mean, whatever. And now that we know, I mean, we're definitely more aware now that sexuality and gender identification are two different sliding scales that can change over your life based on different factors. It seems interesting, and I don't know, it's just weird to still view it in this very binary Western construct of
yes or
gays.
No.
Are you into gays?
It's like, well, I mean, yeah, and yeah. It's
right. just, and rant.
No, yep. no, there's so much more.
So much
this.
Bubbling.
It is the month, though.
We
it's
will,
the month for all that.
And we will get to more of that later.
You're going to have to.
We will. If you ever find yourself in a child custody case, it helps to have a real lawyer, not Jesus.
Jesus was a carpenter, I believe, right?
Especially
I don't think
when the government
passed the bar.
And that's especially true when the government thinks that you aren't stable enough to take care of your child.
Yeah.
That's so sad.
Well, you're clearly not. I mean, the government's right on this uh-huh. one.
Oh, absolutely.
So AJ and DK had a baby, CJ. This kid was born at home on November 1, 2016.
And they really don't like to use a lot of letters, do they?
To protect the identity of the child.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. The identities of the parties involved are, yeah. are
I'm sorry,
not public.
The idea of the entire family.
Just a, I'm really.
So, but they were having some difficulties with the birth, called a paramedic, and then refused to go to the hospital.
Okay.
They also refused eye drops, the bilirubin test, the hearing test, and vaccines.
What state is this in?
British Columbia.
Okay, yeah, because it's like legal in Idaho to do all that noise.
Uh-huh. They then, actually, in Idaho, if the kid died, they would have been screwed because they called a paramedic.
Yeah, but those same people also don't they don't report the kid even being born because they use midwives. And yep. we only know because we go out and we count graves on their community.
Which not even, if it's, the kid's dies during birth.
Yeah, they're not going to.
They're not even going to mark that.
Yeah, well, I mean. Yeah, okay, sorry. It's just, it's Idaho's really gross on this subject matter, is
uh-huh.
all.
Oh, yeah. The kid was then taken from them because, well, that exact situation got the attention of the authorities. The authorities, well, okay, and the mom was telling the paramedic about how her husband beats her.
Yeah, seems appropriate.
So the authorities investigated, and because of concerns over the mother's mental health...
Fair.
And the father's, quote, potential for violence.
Okay.
As the CBC put it.
There's not a really, there's a pretty low bar for when that becomes a problem.
Uh-huh. If that potential becomes ever even remotely a reality
it's
of
just,
a serious
It's been
problem.
Actualized. All right, uh-huh. let's do this.
Then at 1 month, the baby was put back with the parents.
Okay.
But then she was removed 2 weeks later because she was losing weight.
Hmm.
Well, breastfeeding hadn't been well established because the kid was out of the home, and they refused to supplement with formula, so the kid was losing weight.
Yeah.
Okay.
Since then, a pastor has taken out a restraining order against them. They have also been arrested for disturbance at another church.
Wow.
They're trying to drive the evil out of the local area churches.
Oh, well, I mean, somebody themselves? Has to.
They just... What, yeah. They're just going from church to church?
Uh-huh, trying to drive out the evil.
People?
No, not people, the evil spirits.
Evil spirits.
Yeah,
trying to drive out this evil spirits.
My parents believed in the evil spirit thing.
Oh,
it was
totally.
Really easy to just be like, there's an evil spirit in that television.
Oh, absolutely.
Or
no.
Your boyfriend.
It explains everything.
Yeah, I had an evil spirit for a while, according to my parents.
And so,
for a while?
So then they...
Well, they gave it to my younger sister's boyfriend, got my evil spirit after they kicked me out.
Coincidental.
Wow.
Coincidentally,
I think not.
Convenient.
So they went to court. They lost.
Shocking.
They appealed. Went to the state Supreme Court, or the provincial Supreme Court.
Mm-hmm.
The government made the case for permanent removal of their parental rights, which would free up the kid for adoption.
Good.
Over the mental health, violence, and medical care concerns.
I think any single one of those is a good reason.
Yeah, 3 for 3.
Yeah.
Got it.
3 reasons that they are not fit parents and aren't going to become fit parents.
Yeah.
The parents counter that they were being persecuted for their deeply held Christian beliefs.
Always the same excuse.
Of course, they refuse legal counsel, spoke in tongues to a stuffed lion that was giving them direct counsel from God, and advised witness that their lawyer was Jesus and speaking through them.
Well, may I approach the bench, Your Honor?
They lost.
Yeah, shocking.
They lost.
You're going to lose. It probably didn't even take very long.
Oh, the judge, I think the judge might have been lying in part of her opinion where she said, this was a very difficult case. No, this was not a difficult case. This was a very clear-cut case of these people are dangerous and should never be around children. But there has been what has begun to appear in Canada, or is being viewed in Canada, as the government being too hostile towards religious parents.
It's a fine line. I mean, you don't want to, like...
It's a fine lion.
Yeah. That was a good one.
Yes.
It is difficult. I mean, because you want to parse it out with the legal language because you don't want to set too much precedent in the wrong direction. It's very clearly a case of child endangerment. We need to get that child out of that scenario.
What about the woman? If she's getting beaten and she's already like mentally unstable, is she just going to go home with this guy who's just going to keep beating her?
Yeah.
Ugh.
Well, maybe he's got to beat the devil out of her. I mean, these people really do believe in some weird stuff sometimes.
Oh, they also... In these court cases, we're bringing up that they want to rename the baby Jesus, Joy of the Lord. Joy of the Lord is one word.
Well, yeah, I mean, you could hyphenate
it. Not even some underscore.
Nope, no underscore, no hyphens. Jesus, Joy of the Lord.
That's...
Jo-yo. Anyway, yes.
Well, I'm glad that worked out for the baby, I hope.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's just too bad. You almost want to, like... try to wonder how it's interesting that these people find each other. Like,
I
were they that
messed up before?
Yeah, like, or did they? Because I just from personal family experience, you know, you can drag somebody with you and down this weird hallway. So I don't know. The evil spirit thing is addictive to a lot of those. That subset of Christianity really likes to believe. You know, it's that whole piercing the darkness. War in heaven, we're praying, you know, to have the angels and demons fight each other. And they believe that, you know, evil spirits do influence physical things.
Wow.
Because they believe in a fourth dimension of spiritualness that surrounds and permeates, that there are demons and principalities and powers. And it to them, it makes sense that...
I would seriously be questioning that lion's intent, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a... You see,
it's
and
like,
that's
wait, we lost the case. We lost our child. Looked suspiciously at the lion.
Yeah, what did you do?
Wait a second. Your advice was terrible.
All right, so this next one is a follow-up to a story that actually ended up being cut from the main show. We went really long, and so I cut a lot of the news stories.
Yeah, it happens.
Norway has now banned burkas and niqabs for students, teachers, and staff at schools and daycare centers. The Progress Party is the right-wing anti-immigrant party that has pushed for this, and Ashild Brun Gunderson, an MP with the party, has the following to say about it. This is very good news. When Progress in 2003 proposed a total ban on the niqab and burqa, we were laughed at. We see now that we have succeeded in bringing the political environment around to our viewpoint. In a few years' time, we believe that Norwegian politicians will be ready to pass a total ban on the niqab in public.
Ooh, yeah. See, that's that slippery slope deal there. That's
Well, the French have been doing this for a while.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And then they just find different sectors of the public life, keep them off the beach,
Oh, the beach thing pisses me off.
Yeah, just it is interesting. It overlaps really well with not only racism but sexism too. Because now it's...
Because who's affected?
Yeah, because it's really just the women that are affected. Because if a woman believes that she's not allowed to show her hair, her face, or any combination thereof to men that she's not directly related to or married to, then she should be able to not do that. And I feel like the only reason that should affect school is if she's teaching and you can't hear her, but you totally can. So it's not a problem. Mm-hmm. Like, also, I mean, it's just a passing of information. What do I care what outfit they're wearing?
Now, an earlier version of this bill that didn't include the requirement on students
mm-hmm.
had the support of some of the left-wing parties, too.
Yeah, because they always want to try to...
But once they added in students, lost the support of the left-wing parties. But all the central and right parties went with it.
All you have to do is say the word security, and people will roll over.
Fear motivates.
Uh-huh.
They, nationalists... globally have made an excellent argument or a convincing argument for a lot of people who aren't as educated on the matter that people who are any way, shape, or form related to religions where there are more openly violent, you know, sectors of those religion are automatically connected somehow.
Yeah.
So, like, it doesn't matter that every, like, I mean, if you think about it, I mean... the KKK is a Christian organization, but mm-hmm. you can't get Christians to admit that. I mean, even the Nazis had Catholics, priests involved, but we don't blame all Christians for the Nazis. Like, that would be ridiculous, but we do that with other religions.
Yeah.
So that's the racism part.
Mariah Parker was just elected to the Athens-Clarke County Commission in Georgia.
I got a mad crush on this lady, all the way.
She won at the age of 26. By 13 votes.
Also, she's getting her doctorate.
Every super vote important. Matters.
Yeah, right.
And when she got sworn in, she did it with her mom holding a copy of Malcolm X's autobiography.
God, some people are so mad about this.
Oh my God. And she did the
Black Power Fist.
Black Power uh-huh. Fist.
Good
it was.
Her.
And her hair.
Yeah, she's
that gorgeous
oh,
afro.
Wow, that is, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Natural. Ugh.
And not, I mean, not to fetishize any of that, but I mean, it's just, she's just unequivocal. She also recently came out with a rap album. Like, she is so. And like I said, she's getting her, she's working on her doctorate. She's obviously involved. And there was a picture getting passed around the internet of her on a bicycle flipping somebody off like cyclists do. And it's, to me, she's so incredibly human, which is more I would like to see representation. And what is it like? She doesn't even have a powerful position.
County commission.
Yeah, like, okay.
It's still a big FU. Yeah.
I mean, it's a huge FU,
yeah.
But the noise they make about, like, she's not governor. You guys relax. She can flip people off and be a human being. She doesn't have to pretend to be a suit.
Right. Uh-huh. That's
yeah,
true.
Like, that's the thing. It's like, yeah, maybe more humanity should be in all these positions because I think the government would just naturally be more reflective of who we are as a society. And this obviously underrepresentation to the max. For, you know, young Black women, and just the few things I know about her, she's way more qualified for that job than I am. Mm-hmm. So I ain't talking.
Yeah, the education
shit.
Alone is like, yeah, all right, let's try it.
Well, she's smart and she gets her goals done. She gets stuff done.
That's
in which, I mean, if I'm voting for somebody, good for her.
Yeah.
But yeah, the best thing about her, I think, is how much she upsets the people because she represents everything that they hate. Every stereotype they want is there. They just don't like that she's young. They don't like it's a woman. They don't like that she was not religious about it.
Uh-huh.
Because, I mean, come on. I mean, at the end of the day, if you're going to lie, swearing on a Bible isn't going to change your mind.
Right.
Right?
Yep.
I mean, What the, there's no even the Bible doesn't have say that if you swear on these books, a magic spell will compel you.
What's hilarious?
The power of Jesus compels.
You look at the history on that. It dates back from swearing oaths on relics back in Catholic, like old medieval Catholic days.
Back when they at least believed the magic existed.
And you would believe that if you swore an oath on that relic, that that saint would curse you if you broke the oath.
I am so, if I ever get elected into office, I'm going to swear on a mummified toe.
That would actually be really compelling.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I really like this woman. I think she represents something interesting, but she's still an anomaly, and it's unfortunate that we had to go all the way down to a county commissioner to find someone in this position that it's not just a ridiculous person, just somebody. And I mean, after everything that she's doing with her life, she also decided to get involved in local politics, so that's hopefully she does more cool stuff with her life,
and hopefully some people take it to heart and maybe go out and do local politics themselves.
You have 13 people.
13.
Yeah. That's not very many.
That's close.
They probably did a recount.
Every one of those votes counted.
That's like her family.
Right? Just people she knew.
Jasmina Saavedra streamed a video live on Facebook and then later took it down.
Right.
Shamefully.
Harassing a trans woman in a Denny's bathroom and then pacing around the restaurant for a half hour shouting.
Shouting what?
Just horrible transphobic things. I mean, just imagine it's what she said, and she probably got to it.
So it included laughing with a friend about how she carries a stun gun and pepper spray for situations like that. Part of what she said in it was, so that guy is violating my right to use the ladies' room here, and he's saying he's a lady. Stupid guy. Well, she had to take that video down because...
backlash, clearly.
It was horrible.
Yeah.
And she was running for California's 44th House District.
It's insane.
Don't do stuff like that if you're running for office. California, you can think whatever you want, but don't harass other people.
California is a state where it's an open primary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they all run. Yeah.
Everybody runs.
The jungle primary, I think they call it.
And the top two go on to the general election.
Yeah.
She came in third. Behind two Democrats.
Yeah, she got clobbered, too. Like, it wasn't, like, even a close third.
No, she got 10% of the vote.
Which was her family.
The winner got 66%.
That's out of control.
You know, even before the video, that just shows that she had no chance of winning anyway. But all the things that she did was, like, the way to piss off everyone.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, one, you don't harass the person... directly the person, because they're going to hate you, their family's going to hate you, and their friends are going to hate you. You don't harass people who are at the restaurant trying to have dinner, because they're going to hate you, and everybody that they talk to is going to hate you, because you're ruining the environment. Don't be a jerk.
I mean, a lot of these things get decided, even in those districts, a lot of these things get decided by the undecideds and independents. And a lot of the metrics that they use to determine who their candidates are can be heavily influenced by what type of person you are. And that's always like why we talk about likability and why we talk about this, because if it was just politics, we would never bring that up. But it seems that your likability factor has more to do with your electability than anything else.
Absolutely. It's a popularity contest.
I mean, at the end of the day, right? Yeah. And if you're in a restaurant screaming about what somebody else is doing in the bathroom, it's like... The first instinct I have is like, well, what does this have to do with you? Like, despite all the transphobia and hatred that's in your heart that you're advertising right now, why do you care? Like, this is a lot of energy to put in somebody using the restroom before you.
Yeah, it really is.
Like,
and
it's
Denny's. It's not the worst thing to happen in that bathroom.
It's not the worst thing to happen in that bathroom today is that somebody was in there. And it's just weird how people are about that kind of stuff. But, you know, she was obviously convinced that she had more support. And it's probably because a lot of these people live in bubbles where they're convinced that everyone agrees with them, or enough people do, or secretly do. Or the way that they view the world is so socially unevolved on an issue that they're just like, well, clearly this is disgusting. you know, I'm just going to intentionally misgender this person and make it a big deal. And everyone around me is just going to roll their eyes and be like, and then so arrogant as to be like, well, I'm just going to tell the world about it.
And post it online.
And that's salacious. Yeah. That gets picked up right away where everyone shares it. We're all like, wow, look at this horrible person. Yeah, nobody vote for her. Why would you?
Right.
I mean, occasionally, like I said, Nazis are getting into office now, but a lot of places aren't okay with that kind of thing.
Thankfully. All right. Time for another break. We love hearing from our listeners. You can email us at contact@atheistnomads.com, tweet us @atheistnomads, send us a message on our Facebook page at facebook.com/atheistnomads, or better yet, call us and leave us a message at 541-203-0666. We might even play it on the show. You can also help us out by leaving us a review on iTunes, Stitcher, or your podcast directory of choice. From Johnny Laird on Twitter, on the essay, Salvation Army, an interesting mix of pretty decent research, gee whiz naivety.
What does that mean?
Objectivity and subjectivity in about equal measure.
So a conversation.
A decent listen, though.
Okay.
So basically, he just gave you a 3-star rating.
Okay, no, but okay. Dustin's the research. I'm the naivete. Uh-huh. And that's the balance. That's how you learn, and that's fine.
And yeah, a mix of objectivity and subjectivity.
It really
in about equal measure is about what we were going.
It
for.
Really is just right down the middle of the road there, wasn't uh-huh. it? Thank you.
Objectivity doesn't exist. A, everything is filtered through emotions before it comes out of your mouth, and don't pretend you're special. Yeah, now, you felt this, like it was objective
not
because
unless you
agreed with it.
Not unless you start every conversation with listing your IQ.
Yeah, exactly. Clearly, that's the only way that you can be objective. If you're like, well, if you ever say the words, I'm an objective person, you're trying to trick me into thinking something about you. That's not an objective position.
Right.
Like, even science has to be filtered through several trained scientists before we even tacitly agree that it's an objective position.
Yeah.
So it was a nice little thing of feedback. I don't know this person, and it sounds, uh-huh. but it's just, it, to me, it seems a little passive aggressive.
I'm suspecting he's from the Salvation Army.
Yeah, we agree with some of what you said.
We got some of this when we talked about Branch Davidians. About the Davidians. Branch Davidians is a different group within the Davidian movement. But okay. Yeah, when we talked about them, I got some lengthy responses from a member. And
yeah, they were pretty intense about it, too.
I think this is someone from the Salvation Army.
Now I want to know.
Yeah,
we had a hard time coming up with solid opinions. It was
okay.
Yeah.
But I mean, even people like me who can just pull opinions out of their butt on any subject matter, I'm not hardcore on anything. Like, I could change my mind if given enough evidence or time or growth. Or there's a few things where I'm 100% anti always. And those are the ones that almost everyone agrees on. And this kind of stuff, like, I will say this, and I'm doing this tongue in cheek, but the Salvation Army is objectively horrible in how they treat people in the SAGA community and some of the things that they do. That doesn't mean that everything they do is bad.
Uh-huh.
And I wasn't even on this episode, and I know this. And you can already say, just from those sentences, everything he said about your podcast, I just did.
Uh-huh.
Some research, some objectivity, some subjectivity, and some people will think that was nice to listen to.
Yeah.
So I don't even know why people sending these messages. If you're going to send messages in, have an opinion. Don't be like, just, I like some. I didn't like some of it. It was okay, though.
Oh, I take this as a review because this was on Twitter. Not just a reply, but this is public.
Dick.
People.
I want to go reply to this person.
This could have gotten us new listeners.
I could. I mean,
nobody.
I love it. Just keep sending them in.
Uh-huh.
You're either for us or against us.
Jesus. Oh, God. Yeah,
exactly. That is Jesus. You are okay. Lukewarm.
He's got the torches out.
Yeah,
okay,
no, right?
Randy via Facebook.
I'm going to be nicer to this person, probably.
We got two off of
Follow
from
me
episode
on Twitter.
253 yeah. that I missed on Facebook because I fucking hate Facebook.
Yeah, I know you do.
So from Randy, great format addition with the discussion. Do you catch philosophers in space? Discussions are always king. Smiley face.
See, that's nice.
I am aware of Philosophers in Space. I have not listened to it.
Does their introduction include a heavy reverb on the word space?
Space.
I don't know, but
philosophers
it's...
in space. Because if they don't, they need to.
So this one was like, hey, I like your stuff. Here's something you also might like. Uh-huh. That's very nice. That is a very personal, nice thing to say to somebody. I like your podcast. Have you checked these guys out?
Right.
Smiley.
It's
a smiley face.
Thomas Smith from... And actually...
You get a cookie, Thomas Smith.
He did a couple of...
You're better than Twitter guy.
No, this is Randy.
Randy.
Randy. Thomas put up a couple episodes of it on Atheistically Speaking, and I skipped them because...
I love that stuff. The underlying philosophy of why we believe the things that we believe and how we get to those points. It's component to everything that we discuss. Going back to the whole objectivity is an illusion. Like, I mean, there's so many filters before it even comes out my mouth.
Yeah.
Just, yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah. But, this, you know, is good, this good, is what Mikey nice is thing. Like when he's filtered.
Yeah, I know. Uh-huh. Right. I'm not. Yeah.
All right. And then from Adam, also via Facebook.
Okay.
I haven't listened for a couple of years now, but I must say that I'm glad I can just go on Facebook and listen to the cast when it's posted.
Aww.
The new layout is awesome. I do have one question though. Is that the original Dustin or are you saying Justin?
Aha. Uh-huh.
I am the original Dustin from back in from episode one and all the way through. And it was me, Lauren, and Justin.
Yes.
So there was both a Dustin and a Justin on that episode.
Maybe we should just start calling him Jay. Whatever. Yeah. It's not that big of a deal.
I also approve of this feedback.
Uh-huh.
Yes. That's good feedback.
It was
that could have been confusing.
It's like saying I don't eat mangoes very often, but I'm so glad I can go to the store to buy mangoes. Thank you for having mangoes out for me. It's like, hey, thank you for being my mango dealer. Thank you. You're welcome.
Oh, heck, there's...
Yeah, great. There's so many fruits you could be eating
God,
right now.
Oh, my God, I want a mango right now.
The moderator...
You are very hungry.
The moderator of the podcasting subreddit...
Yeah.
...frequently talks about our show and how he's rage quit several times.
That's great.
He keeps listening, and then he rage quits, and then he goes back.
Oh, my God.
That's so funny.
And he always says, but it was never about sound quality.
And that is a badge you wear with honor, sir.
That's funny.
And that's the moderator of the subreddit.
That's so funny.
The things that drive us,
our appetites are frequently misunderstood even by ourselves.
Stop talking about food.
No, I'm a hungry
person. Those two hot dogs did not do us.
Okay,
that
we'll have ice cream when we're done.
Okay.
But before we get into the discussion... if you have crazy, stupid student loans that you can't get any federal relief on, check out Earnest. Use the link in the show notes because you can save $200 and they'll also give me $200. We both win. And $200 is no joke. But the loans must be $5,000 or larger and you must have at least not terrible credit.
Yeah. Full disclosure.
Yeah.
It can help some of you.
So check it out. The link is in the show notes. And if you have trouble finding show notes or they suck where you're listening to the show, go to atheistnomads.com/255. Every episode has a short link with just the episode number after atheistnomads.com/. And Lauren has an offer for you on dog walks.
Oh yeah. Yes, if you need a dog walker, use the WAG app and use my reference code for basically a free first walk.
Oh
yeah,
also in the show notes.
Yeah, I'm not going to pull it up right now because I don't know what it is. It's my name with some numbers, like 26048 or something. But anyway, it's got mixed reviews, but there are some of us out there who honestly are just, we love dogs and we just want to walk your dog.
Uh-huh.
So that yeah.
Nice. And you got to play with a puppy today.
Oh my God, maybe 8 weeks old. Oh, little lab puppy. Oh my God.
We saw videos. It was adorable.
Oh my God, best thing ever. So if your puppy needs a sitter or a walker, use WAG.
All right.
Do it.
Now it's time for our discussion. Pride in the age of Trump.
That's such a long conversation. We're going to have to do a condensed version.
We need to keep it short.
I thought you said this was going to be a narrowed subject for Mikey to keep him from going off the rails.
Yeah, that's impossible.
Okay, so...
There are no rails. I'm a hovercraft.
Okay, so we're in this crazy, weird time.
It wasn't about food.
But that was awesome.
Thanks.
Gay rights have been advancing at a really fast clip for the last decade or so.
Mm-hmm.
And that has been awesome. There is a lot of challenges to it, but those all seem to be hindered by courts, even in the Masterpiece Cake ruling that said that case of discrimination was okay. They were very careful to spell out normal businesses should not be discriminating against gays.
And this is a conservative court. There's pros and cons in all of it. It's the underlying issue is that the conservative movement for a long time has been really good at establishing themselves in places where they can become decision makers. And they recently have been doing a pretty good job in trying to guide the courts. And as we all know, SCOTUS is definitely farther right winging than people think they are.
Yep.
Because it was already right leaning. And since we weren't allowed to use the president's nomination that legally was supposed to have it, which is once again a problem that I personally have with the Democrats, is even when they're legally a right, they're just like, no, we're just going to let it go. And it could have been reduced to the whole confidence that they would probably win, because there's even an argument to be made that Trump didn't really believe he was going to win the presidency.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, obviously, it's something only really Trump knows. It's not like he keeps notes. We now know he tears those up and people literally have to tape them. So,
oh my God.
I mean, love or hate the guy, he is a representation of how a percentage of the population believes. And this goes back to the conversation we were just having on, like, you know, costuming designs for religious reasons. Like, but this is definitely bigger. The to break it down into some base components, the issues are both within and without the community. When we celebrate Pride, as you will see all this month, those of you who are not familiar with the community, or even a lot of you that are, will find some issues with the problems. The problem at the very basis of it is that homosexuality, the conversation becomes about sex because of our puritanical look of views of sex, that they start to use things like normal and abnormal and all this other, this false binary that Western culture kind of deals with. And because of that, we naturally fall into the, well, how will I explain it to my children? But if you think about it, when you were a kid and you watched Disney and a man and a woman got together, you never immediately went to your parents and asked about sex. And the argument that they've made and successfully have made is that it's about sex. So we have been challenging that goalpost. And even in Pride, what you see now is a bunch of cis, you know, gay guys dancing, and it becomes a party, which ultimately bothers some people. This energy, because of this pendulum and swing, since we're swinging back to the right, nationalism and xenophobia and all that horrible stuff, part of it that gets drugged back in that direction is this weird thing that there's a normalized way to be sexual or non-sexual in our community. So now what we have is a lot of progression in the rates that people actually believe that we don't really care how other people, consenting adults, pair off sexually and in relationships, with this whole conversation about sex, which as we as a culture just can't have. We're just not
good
at it.
Okay, and the thing that's crazy is with the straight couple, nobody bats an eye about it.
Right.
Straight couple of kids,
his head.
Nobody bats an eye about that, even though you have evidence that they had sex at least once.
Probably. Well, at least one of them probably did.
And probably more than once.
Yeah. Well, maybe, unless they're really good at it.
And with a same-sex couple.
Just one hit.
Yeah, just one and done.
But with a same-sex couple, you're assuming they've had sex.
Yeah.
Probably
I don't think about it.
But there's no outward evidence that that's happening.
It always comes back to sex control. The reason why we can't narrow this down is even when I try to condense it into that, and we're skipping, like when we first brought it, I was like, we have to skip the history. You know, we talk about the Stonewall riots alone. Most people aren't educated, nor that the Stonewall riots, which is where Pride comes from, was literally trans women of color who were sex workers in a cop controlled mob bar. Well, they were paying off the cops, threw rocks, and there was a riot out of it. Like, literally the queerest shit possible. Like, and right now in our community, we still have problems. Just as an illustration, there is an alternative Pride in Boise this upcoming Saturday at the same time. It's a potluck organized by some young women, young queer women that I happen to know. And they've got artists and things. And it is more of how some communities are now branching out. Because the main thing is now become corporate sponsored. You'll notice that there's all this gay stuff. It's like the pink washing, except now it's queer washing.
Go check out your favorite burlesque show at the Wells Fargo Stadium.
Right. And we don't don't want to like do anything with, because obviously burlesque performers are amazing. It's the softest form of sex work that exists, and it's just it's not even necessarily sex, but yeah.
The stage was bought and paid for by Wells Fargo, and they put the name on it. And
the Boise Pride Parade, all the floats are commercial,
and that's the capitalism issue. Which once again, these things just go into these offshoots. But the problem is that these banks have the Wells Fargo is an excellent example, has a long history of doing things against members of the Saga community and members. They've been openly racist, and for intersectionalists and people like me who aren't even fully educated on it, it is difficult for me to accept not the individuals from Wells Fargo who I would judge individually, but that the corporation itself is doing anything other than a cash grab. And then it's just a, here's an audience that we're going to pretend to like. You know, the movements within the community have been, if you want to buy Pride stuff, go to Etsy, pay your money to a real queer artist, have that person make you a shirt or something. And yeah, it's going to cost you $35, but you're actually supporting somebody in the community instead of going to Walmart and buying something made in Singapore for $6.99.
Yeah.
You know, and it's fine. I mean, we just don't really, at this point now, what we have is, I mean, if you go back 4 years, I did a speech on the steps of City Hall with Brocky Johnson and Joey Maxey and some other people locally, where we talked about the inevitability of the legalization of gay marriage because of the swinging of people's opinions.
I was there.
Yeah. Thank you. I'm glad you were there. And that progression is still happening. The average American adult doesn't care whether I'm with a man or a woman or a non-binary individual. Most of them don't know what a lot of these terms mean, but that's just time and education. The youth's got it down, kids. I don't know if you guys know this, but when you talk to young people on this stuff, I get educated all the time. And then the evolution of our terminology and how things are being done and talked about is also progressing. So not only are Americans falling behind, the language is outpacing them.
Yeah.
So the positive thing is the average American, the average voter, and the future young voters don't care about the issue. The downside is it is still a lightning rod issue for the far right and the right themselves. The demasculation of the American male is something that they think exists, when all it is we're reducing toxic masculinities and things that have been damaging to both men and women in our communities. And the queer blanket is huge. It's a huge tent. And all these conversations are had within our thing. So right now it's more intense for a lot of people. A lot of people are more scared. Smaller communities and certain other countries have banned their pride parades.
Wow.
Simply because it's more controversial there.
Yeah.
Going back to the atheist conversation. Whereas here in the States, Boise is the local population is center left. So they do a lot of pro-business stuff. They're very capitalists. But they did put up pride parade flags at the beginning of the month. And that's an open statement to try to be supportive of the queer community here in the town.
Yeah,
but even the terminology queer isn't even accepted by everyone in the community, even though a lot of us have been reclaiming it and using it again because it was a pejorative for so long.
Yeah.
Which, just to give you a taste of how out of control this is, difficult even for someone like me to talk about because my terminology will offend some people.
So yeah. Now, what about the churches that have gotten involved?
Well, once again, this is a basis of the church itself is evolving. You'll notice Pope Francis recently told a gay man that, and it was a pro-love message of like who you love and what you do doesn't influence God's love about you. But that's not Catholic doctrine. And then the Jesuits and some people came out and were like, okay, yeah, the Pope isn't always speaking in his capacity as the Pope. Sometimes he's just saying stuff, which is a nice way to say, like, he didn't mean it.
Uh-huh.
So we're having that on the churches here. There are a lot of churches, the Episcopalians are actually really cool about it, where they send representations of their church because there are a lot of people in the Saga community who do believe and have faith. Which I definitely support, because I think long-term, the issues of the toxicity that some religious things have and the attitudes toward gays can be patched together a little bit by having some pro-church help. Because then it becomes less of a lightning rod for the far right and the right to be like, well, you know, God hates the gays, if you have people in the church that are like, no. So that, I think, is positive. The Alternative Pride is a potluck. At and Morrison.
Not only that, but it's the reasoning that some of these women have for promoting just an alternative pride is because when you think of a pride parade, you do think of young men waving dildos or whatever.
Well, it's,
right?
It's a
big
thing,
party.
Yeah. That's where the conversation
very
is.
Very male oriented. And
there's a lot of cis gay guys, yeah.
So there's some women who don't feel comfortable in that.
Right.
They feel like they're being left out.
And some communities actually have lesbian organizations where they do that. And I'm pro that. Like, within my own community, as in, like, the queer comedy people that all know each other, it is not abnormal for the lesbians to go off and do a thing together and then come back, which is fine. I don't mind being excluded from my maleness. I'm very male, and I don't care. It's not about me.
No, it's definitely not saying that, you know, that men are not welcome. It's just that
it can be, though. I don't have to be welcome everywhere.
You don't have to be.
Right. Like, and that's the attitude, is we need to get to the point in our community and outside our community where it's not just letting everyone love everybody, but to really be like, look, if you meet a queer woman of color, she belongs at these events as much as your shirtless bear does, you know, some big hairy guy who's been out for 30 years. And within our own Facebook groups, there has been conflict where a lot of the older gay guys who have been out and involved in the community a long time are once again struggling because what they're doing now isn't good enough for the younger generation of people in the community. And we're starting to see a little bit of this play out, and it's under a lens of everything that's major, but because we live in the current political environment, you are still seeing, you know, a lot of people. So
I just love the fact that on one side of the street, you're going to have a huge party. On the other side of the street, you're going to have an artsy fartsy craft/potluck.
Yeah. And that, I will. And
like, everybody's welcome. That's
and
great.
I'll go to both.
Most people probably will.
I think that's what we should want. Like, people need to find where they need to find their tribe, where their energy fits. And there's a lot of people in our community who aren't the go outside and celebrate. Maybe they just want a nice little potluck where they can be like, aren't we great? Isn't it nice to just exist without having to feel horrible? And I mean, and this doesn't even address the issues with, do cops belong at Pride? Short answer, no, but they are there. So, I mean, remember, the whole thing started because we were throwing rocks at cops because they were breaking the law and the persecution. And there's a story that just came out already this month where a young trans woman was caught burning a Blue Lives Matter flag and they arrested her. And the argument is that I haven't actually watched this video yet, but the argument was that she was being disruptive. But it's not legal to burn a flag, and it's certainly not illegal to burn a Blue Lives Matter flag.
Yeah.
This doesn't even necessarily mean, however, like, I personally, it was a small kerfuffle, got no conversation with the Boise Police Department Twitter asking why the queer outreach officer is a straight guy. And they only came back once, because I was hitting for like a week and a half, was, well, I mean, we just picked the most qualified person for the job, and it was our standard blah, 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 that they believe in this. And I'm like, look, because it's a whole other thing. The problem is if you have an outreach officer that is a straight white guy, what you're saying is the queer community needs to do the outreaching, and that's just your contact point. If you really, really wanted to have an outreach officer, you would find a member of that community. We have the same problem in our cities where a lot of the outreach officers are white guys in urban areas where the areas are predominantly black or Latino or something like that. And it's like, if the dude doesn't even speak Spanish, how can most of the people in his area deal with him? Like, it's just not helpful,
right?
Not the spirit of the protect and serve that you would like the police. And never mind the history of the police being organized to stop unions. And it was anyway, all that stuff. So what we're seeing is a more militant way of looking at it. The fear aspect means that we have a lot more cops. The argument is that they're there to protect everybody. But we know historically that they more likely to be aggressors towards members of the community than any danger. We also know for a fact, because my friend was there and there's photos, that they let people walk through these communities with symbols of hate on them, which is the antithesis of what Pride is about. Pride is a safe place, and it should be a safe place for members of the community. And
that's
as
much of
a
disruption as burning a fake flag.
Right. So Heidi, my best friend, chased them around with a baseball bat. These guys were wearing Confederate flags and doing stuff.
And they're going to be out this year
yeah,
two.
That's fine. I just wasn't there that time. And they ran to the cops. Now, mind you, my friend is like 5'5", and she weighs like 110
pounds. She's adorable.
And she's an artist. So she bedazzled some bats for us this time. just to have. And I'm not saying, yeah, I think mine's blue and it glows. So like it's iridescent and it says queers bash back. So that's the type of, you know, defense that the community maybe gets, because it's frustrating. So we're living in this interesting time where the people themselves are pro this, but the state itself is retreating on a lot of things. You know, they still don't let people in same-sex relationships adopt in a lot of places.
Yeah.
Because those places are run by religious institutions that claim the right of religion.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's like, well, it's a freedom of religion to tell. And we also know from science now that a lot of reasons why homosexuality exists in other species is if a parents die, same-sex couples within that species will frequently adopt the egg or the baby themselves. And there's been, all the studies have shown that there's no adverse effects. There's absolutely nothing
right
that's hurtful about it. So once again, we go back to no science on the side of the opposition, but that doesn't change how they feel.
Well, and actually the best evidence on parenting is kids are best off with two moms.
Technically, that was that one. Yeah, uh-huh. One study is just yeah.
Uh-huh.
Then the other best is if there is a male that he is actually there.
Yep.
That's the base requirement. Just as long as he's there.
It's just with all the ways that hetero parents fuck up their kids, it just seems weird that you would throw stones at any other system.
Oh,
dude,
yeah.
Too soon.
Yeah.
Too soon.
Yeah. So I don't know. So, and that's the smallest I could make that conversation. But it's so difficult to talk about something that's important, that we dedicate a whole month to this. It is a significant portion of our population. We know that teenagers in the community are vastly high percentage of committing suicide, while we're focused on that subject for a couple weeks.
Oh God. Yeah. Suicide rates are
just high.
Astronomical.
And we see a lot of situations where parents abandon their children specifically because that child comes out as gay or somewhere on the saga line whatsoever. Once again, going to my friend Heidi, because there's no way her mom will listen to this podcast. Heidi actually asked her mom if she would go to Pride to support her, and her mom just said no. And now, mind you, she only has one mom, and her dad lives in Kentucky, and her stepdad's cool about it, but it's a different relationship. So it's just weird that you've got a young disabled artist who's getting involved and trying to do this stuff, and her mom isn't even willing to go to a public parade full of straight people just to be there for her own daughter. And she's not even asking her to do anything. She's not asking her to, like, buy a double-ended dildo for
her. It reminds me of my own sister when she had her wedding, and she sent out a token invite to our grandmother, who's very right-wing, conservative, mm-hmm. crazy person. And then she said yes and came, and it was amazing, but super awkward and uncomfortable at the same time. Because I think she came to a lesbian wedding just to see it fall apart, and it didn't. So, it was weird.
Uh-huh.
But, I think it's very difficult because, I mean, it's so challenging for young people especially. And it's not any easier for us older people. I don't talk to either of my parents. But it's not easy for someone who is still in their formative years to, not only you're discovering who you are and how that relates to the rest of the world, but then you find out that you're in a marginalized group that people openly advocate violence against and do. Like, I mean, for your own mental health, but you could easily Google violence against people in the community and how often it happens to this day, or, you know, even recently and currently this stuff happens. And then imagine how that would make you feel if you were one of those people. A study recently came out that there was a vast percentage of people who were still uncomfortable with having gays in the workplace. That's in the workplace. That's not using the bathroom. That's just in another cubicle in the same floor.
Just breathing the same air, I guess.
Wow.
Yeah, then that's how they are. And once
gay
again,
air.
To bring it into the podcast, a lot of this does come from religion.
Drink that gay water piss.
That gay shit. And it is... But what we're seeing is we're actually seeing a more militant take from the youths. they are less tolerant. Is I made this same thing about other forms of marginalized group, even including feminism has definitely gotten more aggressive as you skew younger because they're just not willing to tolerate these old modes of thought. It's not about incrementalism anymore. There are more Gen Z voters and millennial voters than anybody older than them. So if these young people can vote, they actually have a majority, which over time can change the system. It just will take a long time and people get cynical before it happens.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, that was a bit, but.
Right. And you used an, I think, acronym that I haven't heard before.
SAGA?
Yeah.
Okay. So notice how we keep adding letters.
Uh-huh.
There's an attempt to rebrand it. And I've worked into the lexicon because it's one that actually doesn't offend anybody on any level. I personally identify as queer because it fits how I feel about myself, which at the end of the day is what a lot of these terms mean in the overlaps and the changes and whatever. And sometimes you don't know what to call yourself until you hear the description of it. So the SAGA community has a meaning, which I don't even necessarily remember, but it's basically everybody that is within the rainbow. So however, now there's always gatekeeping in conversations about like whether asexuals belong. They do. But that kind of stuff. But that's what that is. The SAGA community is the blanket term for everybody that is there.
Is not cis.
Well, no.
Right?
Not cis straight.
Okay, so het cis, so hetero cis, and this is another term that's used, assigned female at birth, assigned male at birth, because it has nothing to do with the person, it's what they were assigned. So some people will be AMAB, which you will see, and that means assigned male at birth. Like, so, because then you can identify as a thing, but you can also be like, yeah, I am AMAB, and I'm a member of the SAGA community, I identify as queer, and I both use bisexual and pansexual as terminology, and there is overlap, and the term bisexuality is evolving in the online communities to mean different things than it used to. Like some people, and I personally feel like that terminology is going to fade in favor of other terms, but that doesn't mean anything.
Mm-hmm.
It just doesn't. So in theory, humanity is evolving to a greater complex understanding of the complexity and nuance of human gender and sexuality identification and the way we lean and how things shift over time. You know, we talk about late life lesbians, women who go through whole families with men, and then after menopause or just later in their life, they just find a female partner and then they just hook up and stay together. Like,
yeah, I have a colleague whose mom, after her husband died when they're in their like 60s, 70s.
Right.
Yeah, married a woman.
And the language that we use to describe this person is going to be determined by her. And that's uh-huh. very difficult because yep. the language that she has might be older language. And the way that she refers herself, a lot of these women still consider themselves straight. A lot of this because of the age of life, some of them are low sex drive relationships or don't have any of that. And the correct way, I believe, to approach this is what is genuinely making people more fulfilled and happy and helping them out. And if this woman is in a good place in her life, that's what we should be supporting.
Yeah.
And but then people want answers. This goes back to the why. Well, when was she always like this? Is that bisexuality? Maybe if she wants it to be, because ultimately it doesn't matter. And if this woman wants to come to a pride, she's definitely more than welcome because mm-hmm. why not? And if she decides to call herself something later and she decides when she's 85, she's a lesbian. Great. You're a lesbian. You've always been a lesbian. As far as I'm concerned, I don't care. Like it's just, and that's
history doesn't matter.
People yeah. are a little obsessed with labels and
yeah,
trying
really
to find the perfect label when maybe there just isn't one.
Well,
yeah.
Labels, you're just fine the way you are.
Labels are convenient if you, A, understand the same meaning of the labels the person you're talking to.
Which we know doesn't happen because that's not how words
happens,
work.
But it is a convenient crutch to fill in gaps in somebody you don't. About somebody you don't know well.
It's a pathetic attempt to codify an unknowable universe. And it's just yeah. our meager attempts to communicate with each other. And it's messy. And unfortunately, in this case of disgusting descriptors, the evolution of language online has kicked everything into overdrive. The natural tendencies of words to drift and change meaning based upon all the filters is definitely exacerbated by how easily these ideas are exchanged now. So we're very quickly hitting a point where if you don't know a thing, guys, just Google it. Don't ask people. Like, this is different because we're in a conversation. You're not on your computer. But if you're on Facebook or whatever and someone says a thing, just Google it. Don't ask the person to describe a thing. If you hear a term like gatekeeping and you don't know what it means, Google. Promise you'll find it on the first page. All this stuff is easy. So if you want to educate yourself and be supportive of the community, you can mostly do that by just listening and trying to help where you can. And just understand that all of us are just doing better as we go. So if you are someone who is just trying to be a better person about it, thank you. Because a lot of people aren't.
All right.
Yeah. Thought I'd end on a nice note for once.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What are you looking up?
Soccer community.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I should have done that. See, I used to know. It's so difficult to remember what the term saga means.
Saga, sexuality and gender acceptance.
Yep, there it is. See how comprehensive that is?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I like it. And it's easy to say. Part of the problem with the LGBTQIIA+ or whatever we're doing now it started to get mocked by me even at Pride several
Everybody
years ago on stage.
Mocked. Oh, yeah.
Like, uh-huh. Just because it's... We do want everyone involved.
You don't want your label to sound like a really out of control Starbucks order.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So, yeah. So, this is essentially acceptance. Now, that is just what it is. It is a significant portion of the population, and the numbers vary because, as we referenced earlier, not everyone's open or honest or is educated or is aware. A lot of people don't know what their sexuality is for quite a long time.
Okay, from this post on... Queer as Cat on Tumblr.
Yeah.
It includes everyone without having 3 billion letters in the acronym.
Yeah. That's been the evolution. Is we hit a point where there was a need for something, and this is the one that we're currently trying on. I find it's easy to say and easy to recognize. And so I've been using it just because mm-hmm. I've been trying to adopt the language as it changes. But if everybody weighs in a different direction, I'll just follow along. It's like changing your punctuation in texting so that people understand your tone. It's
yeah.
something you mm-hmm. have to do because
Saga!
Yeah, it's just yeah, and
all caps.
Yeah, and so the conversation itself helps people because a lot of people still go, I don't even know what cis means, and it's basically that's for the whole you match up with what you were assigned at birth. That's all that it is that's how you feel. That doesn't mean you have to stay that way or that you can't, because NB, which is non-binary, even though it's spelled differently than that, is a thing that you can also be. And we're also starting to accept facts, like for instance, not only do women not have to look butcher feminine, they can do either. If you're a trans woman, you can still dress however you want. You can identify as a trans woman and dress as a straight man. There's no rules for that. And I don't care who it confuses. This isn't about them. This is about you. What the conversation is we need to learn to respect what people want to be. And as long as there's not a problem with the terminology and that it's hurtful to other people, that's the slice of political correctness that no yeah. one actually hates, is the whole, well, we're just trying to be nice to people. Like, so, yeah, I even had a woman the other day ask me about this with a trans woman who came out to them because this person hadn't transitioned. And mind you, you don't even need to transition because genitals are not affected by your sexual identifier. So you can have whatever and be whatever. So this person came across as manly to her, and she was having difficulty understanding it. And since she was religious, I actually talked about the perspective of Jesus and approaching things from an empathetic point of view. Mm-hmm. It's like, I believe that if you believe in Jesus, it seems to me that the Jesus in the New Testament would have been really cool with one of the disciples identifying as a woman. Now, mm-hmm. granted, Jesus didn't exist. And if he did, he was black. But
well, brown.
Yeah, well, you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Not
not white.
So and not transphobic, because whatever. So yeah, it's a God, that was probably like a half an hour right there.
Yeah. Well, so obviously Pride is still relevant.
Yeah, and it will be.
And
for a long
Thursday.
Time.
Or not Thursday, excuse me, Saturday.
Saturday in Boise. What is it? The 15th or the 16th? 16th, right?
Yes, the 16th.
Time is meaningless to me.
Right?
If you listen to this on day of release, it's the day after tomorrow.
Yeah, okay, cool.
If you listen to it after the day of release,
then it might
it's
have already happened.
Or
and,
happened.
And obviously, Pride happens throughout the month in different locations. Mm-hmm. If you're interested in your local Pride events, go ahead. The only thing we didn't really touch on is the controversy about whether allies are allowed, and that is not settled by anybody. Some spaces are more welcome than others, and you just need to be empathetic and try not to hurt people's feelings.
Uh-huh.
So, and always as an ally, what you want to do is not center yourself or your feelings in the conversation.
This
it's
not about you.
It's not about you. Try to figure out the people that this is about and how they feel, and then just try to be helpful to them. So if you're, and mind you, those pretty dancing gay boys that are on the stages and having a lot of fun, they don't care if they have a bigger audience. But if you're hanging out with a small group of trans people who feel isolated, maybe they don't necessarily want a large group of, you know, straights hanging out.
Yeah.
And you just need to read the room. And that's your job now.
Figure out when it's time to go home.
Yeah, and just figure out that you need, and it's okay to be wrong occasionally as long as you're cool. Also, if anyone ever gets upset at you for making the wrong call, they've been hurt before. And you just need to understand that that's because they might actually feel like they're in danger and they're reacting primally about it.
Right.
And if you're not a threat, then you would be like, all right, cool. I'm so sorry. My bad.
All
nice
right.
Day, gang.
Mikey.
Finger guns.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Pew, pew. Yeah.
Finger guns and flamethrowers.
Yeah, that's what I've been about on Facebook a lot lately.
Yeah.
Trying to convince people to buy me a flamethrower for all the wrong reasons.
Oh. Yeah, on that note, Lauren, thank you.
Yeah.
And listeners, remember, not all those who wander are lost. Thank you for listening to another episode of Atheist Nomads. You can find show notes and contact information at atheistnomads.com. Follow us on Twitter at Atheist Nomads. And like us on Facebook at facebook.com/atheistnomads. Please subscribe to the show in iTunes, Stitcher, or your podcatcher of choice. And while you're there, feel free to leave us a review. Theme music is courtesy of Sturdy Fred. Until next time, this has been the Atheist Nomads.